Well, I'll just get myself a glass of water before I cough. Bless you for having me to speak. And as I was preparing for this evening, I wanted to reflect on a psalm, Psalm 145. It's a psalm I've grown to love. And I don't know if you know this, but it's actually David's last psalm. It's the last psalm of David in the whole of the 150 psalms. And I thought, well, I'm not getting any younger. You know, I'm not hearing quite so well these days. I can't do the things I used to do. But I thought, you know, it's encouraging, isn't it, to think about David and what he thought about this psalm. So I'm going to read this psalm in its fullness, in its entirety. And I'll have a little glass before I start. A psalm of praise of David. Do follow along if you've got Bibles. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds those who fall down and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So may the Lord just bless the reading of his word. And I love this psalm. And one of the reasons I love it is because you probably heard me emphasizing the word all throughout. All. God is a loving God, and he speaks to all of us tonight. I want to say something about the psalm, and I do worship. That's one of the things I do. I'm a worship leadery type person, and so I love this psalm because one of the things you hear in it is all these different words, all these different phrases that are worship, and I will go a little bit into that. But I also want to talk about us. What can we take away from this as followers of Jesus, and how can we turn our eyes to the good things that God has for each one of us? God's got something good for each of us here, and he's got a plan for each one of us here. He has. I really believe that. So, my kids used to love, when they were little, Buzz Lightyear and Toy Story. And I don't know if you remember his catchphrase. To infinity and beyond. You remember that one? It was a crazy phrase, isn't it? To infinity and beyond. But it kind of reminds me of this psalm, because David says forever and ever. And he says it again, forever and ever. And I don't know about you, sometimes things that go on forever and ever can be really boring. I hope that I won't go on forever and ever. I'm sure you will want to go home tonight. But when we're in heaven, when we're praising God, it will go on forever and ever. And I can assure, I'm sure that it will not be boring. The rain's been a bit boring, hasn't it? The weather's been a bit grim. Feels like it's been going on forever and ever. But great things when we come together to really worship and praise. And this is what David's getting at. This is what he's getting at. It's like, I want to worship you forever and ever, and I'm looking forward to being there. This is his crown jewel. I'm sure when he wrote this, must have been looking back at his life and thinking, what about all the things I've done? We know about David. We know that he had ups and downs. We know that he had disappointments. He had great successes. God called him a man after his own heart. But we also know that he fell and he repented and he had all sorts of things and he had a wayward son and all the rest of it. But he doesn't just look back. He's looking forward here. He's looking forward. And this is his last word to us in the Psalms. This is his last word. This psalm can be considered a new psalm. And the word in the title, Psalm of Praise, in the Hebrew, actually means a brand new song. And I'll come back to that in a little bit of time. I don't know if you ever heard a report. There was a report written, or a study done. And it was looking at, they looked at a community of nuns, okay. Old ladies who love Jesus, basically. And this study found that those nuns or old ladies who wrote in their diaries back in the way past, who wrote very positive things, positive emotions, in their autobiographies, in their studies, lived significantly longer, and in some cases 10 years longer than those expressing negative emotions. Mm-hmm. Interesting thought. But it speaks to me a little bit about how, you know, having a positive mental attitude can really help. And the author of the study said this. He said, I can't prove it scientifically, right? But he says that the nuns' spirituality, their love of Jesus, and their community living together was one of the really powerful things. He believed that that was significant. So one such nun was called Sister Esther. And Sister Esther was 106 years of age, and she sped through the labyrinth with her sticks, and she makes glazing, and she does little tiles for the Nativity, which they sell in the gift shop, and she goes on her exercise bike every day, which you believe. I don't feel like doing that. And she says, sometimes I feel like I'm 150. But I just made up my mind that I'm not going to give in. Yeah. Bless her. She gives little notes to her therapists, her exercise therapists, with things written on them like, think no evil, do no evil, hear no evil, she says. And then she went on to say, but you'll never write a best-selling novel. So, positive outlook. And where does that come from? I think that comes from us having a real sense of hope and a real sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And the Presbyterian Church has this little catchphrase. Well, it's called a catechism, but I call it a catchphrase. And they say, when they're sort of saying, what is the chief purpose and goal of man or humankind? What is the chief purpose or the chief end of man? And the response is, man's chief end is to glorify God. And to enjoy him forever. And I find that really encouraging because it's very forward looking, it's very positive. It's about something that we're going to do forever. To glorify God. This psalm has got lots. I don't know Hebrew, I'll tell you, but I can use the internet and find out.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you find is that all these different words, exalt, praise, extol, tell of your mighty acts. They're all kind of praise words in Hebrew. I think it's a little bit like, you know, they say the Eskimos have about 60 words for snow. And we don't, do we? But the Jewish language, the Hebrew language, has many, many different words for praise. And some of them are found, at least five of them are found in this psalm. And I want to just quickly touch on them. So in the title of the psalm is Tehillah. It's a psalm of praise, a Tehillah psalm, I'll come back to that one. For the next one is in verse 1. I will exalt the Lord. I will exalt your name forever. And the word is Barak. I won't be testing you. And that means to express an attitude of love. To submit and to trust. Through kneeling or bowing. We probably don't do this so much. But it just talks about all the different ways in which we can worship. And then it says in verse 2, every day I will praise you. And that word is Barak again. And I will extol your name. And the word for extol is Hallah, which is where we get hallelujah from. And that means to boast about the Lord and to rave clamorously. It's a strange picture, but it's hallelujah. And then verse 3 to 4, great is the Lord and most worthy of hallel, praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation shall commend your works to them. That word commend is also a worship word, believe it or not. And the word is shabach. Having learned Welsh, I think I can say that sound. They will tell of your mighty acts. And shabach basically means to loudly give adoration to God in the form of a testimony. That's an interesting word. In the form of a testimony. What's God done? If you jump forward to verse 10, all your works praise you, Lord. And the word praise there is yada. So we've got Tehillah, Barak, Halal, Shabbat, and yada. And yada, you may know this, is very similar to the word Judah. And if you remember back to Genesis, the story of Leah and Rachel, and Leah conceived again, it says in Genesis 29, and she, when she had given birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise, and the word is yada, the Lord. So she named the boy Judah, or Yehuda in Hebrew. So it's a pun, or that kind of thing. If you go through the Bible, and every time you come across the word Judah, and you put in the word praise, it's a really interesting exercise. I want to say this one thing about Leah. She was unloved by Jacob. And Judah was her fourth child. In that time, having lots and lots of children was considered to be God's blessing. God blessed her in difficult circumstances and in a difficult time. And my challenge to me, to all of us, is have we praised God? Can we praise God? Not for the difficult times, but in the midst of the difficult times, because we all have them, and the older we get, the more we have, I guess. But the praise we bring to Him in the difficult times is precious. Back to the psalm. I won't be too long. I'm looking at the clock, and I guess I don't know what time you need to go home tonight. But I want to pick up something which I think is really important for us all, and that is this word about one generation will commend your works to another. Remember I said that commending, that word, it's another word for praise or worship. It's also a word that means testimony, to testify. So you could say one generation will testify about your works to another. And I love the way in that passage, and I was kind of trying to bring it out in the reading, they will speak, I will meditate, they will tell, I will proclaim, they will celebrate. It's a bit like in the passing of the baton when you're doing the old relay race. Passing it on. And we have a job, I have a job in my family, with my kids, some of them are grown now, to hold up God and to testify. And I would say also that sometimes we think it's just about us, perhaps the older ones telling the younger ones all about Jesus, and that's great and that's wonderful. But it comes the other way too. It comes the other way. And I was talking to Tom earlier on, and you shared a poem with me about Christmas and about a young child's face and how the young child takes that joy in receiving the present. And sometimes we can kind of lose that. I feel that we can lose that joy at times. I do. We can lose that fresh enthusiasm that a young kid has for celebrating and looking forward to Christmas. And it's kind of all mixed up in their minds. But we can learn from that. And we can sort of talk about what God's done. Quite often my kids, they've all been to church, they've all been to youth groups, they've all been to conferences, they've all been to those kind of things. And they've all of them at one time or another made a commitment to Jesus. But they're not all walking with him right now. But one thing they do, which I praise God for, is they ask for prayer. And we say, yeah, of course we'll pray. You can pray too, but of course we'll pray. And my son, I'll just tell you this story as a testimony, really. He is a musician, and he lives in London, so he's basically poor. That's, if you're a musician, you're poor. And one day he phoned me, he said, Dad, I'm desperate. He said, I've got like £5 in my pocket, and I've got to get to a lesson with somebody. It's a Korean family, it's a new pupil. And the trains are on strike. The tubes are on strike. It's desperate. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm already running late. Please would you just pray? So he said, yeah, of course. And we prayed for him, and about 5-6 hours later he phoned and he said, do you know what, he said, I have never had a day like this. He said, the train that I had to get is the only train that was running. When I put my hand in my pocket to pay the ticket, there was a £10 there, not a £5. Because the other trains were not running, his train went straight through and got to its destination, you know, ahead of 10 minutes ahead of time. When he came into the family, I'm sure they were a Korean family, I'm sure they were Christians. They said, oh, that's so wonderful. We're going to pay you double the price of the lesson because we really appreciate you. And will you stay for food? Of course he said yes. And I tell you, to share a testimony that the Lord answers prayer. And when we really seek his face and we pray, it's not to say that we're wonderful prayers, because God hears all of our prayers. He is loving and compassionate to all that he has made. All that he's made. Whether they're walking with him or not, he is compassionate to all that he's made. And the eyes of all look to him, and he gives them their meat, he gives them their fruit, he gives them their food in its season. So we praise God, and we want to testify. I'm sure that each one of you here tonight has got a story about how God has done something that maybe you couldn't even explain, but you know that it was a significant moment in your life, in your walk with the Lord. Remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites crossed the River Jordan? I don't know if you remember that story. And the priests are standing at the waterside and they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And basically Joshua, I think it is, says, we've got to go into the water. And the priests go into the water, and as soon as their feet touch the water, what happens is the Jordan stops and they have dry land and they cross over the Jordan. And what did they do when they crossed? I mean, this is incredible, but what did they do? Well, when they crossed over safely, they built they put a set of stones. And that set of stones reminded them of what God had done. And testimony is a way of reminding us what God has done in our lives. Now, it's really wonderful to think that God sees that word, testimony, as being like a worship word, a praise word. What I find incredible about this psalm is that David didn't really, he'd seen Jesus from a distance. You know that psalm that says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make you your enemies a footstool. He'd seen from a distance, but he hadn't really, not like we have encountered Jesus. Moses went up a mountainside in Exodus 33 and basically went up the mountainside and he talked, if you remember the story, he's talking with God and he says, Lord, who shall I say is sending us? Who will go with us? I can't go into the promised land unless you go with us. And in that conversation, God says to Moses, he says, I will cause my glory to pass in front of you. Mm-hmm. And in that conversation, Moses says, show me your glory on the mountain. And God says to him, I will cause my glory, but you will not, you can't see me. I'm going to put you in a cleft in the rock. I'm going to cover you with my hand. You can't see my face and live, because God is holy. He's a holy God. And he doesn't deal with sin. And we're all of us sinful. You know, that what is that verse? All have sinned. Romans 3:23, I think it is. And have fallen short of God's glory. God's glory. He's a holy God. But he's also a near God. He's also a God who's with us. What does Emmanuel mean?
God
with us. He's near. And this psalm is so tender because it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Verse 18. To all who call on him in truth. That truth is an important word. We jump over it very quickly. What is truth? Let me just pose the question. If you think into what Jesus says, the I ams, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. And each one of us here tonight has come to the Father through him. And because we've come to the Father through him, we have access. Remember the book of Hebrews says, doesn't it, that our God is a consuming fire. We should worship him in reverence and awe. But it also says that we can come into the Holy of Holies, experience the glory of God in a way that even Moses didn't, because of what Jesus has done for you and for me through his blood. The Hebrew word for glory is kabod. And it's sort of a sense, a heavy sense of the glory of God. And in the New Testament, the word is doxa, which is where we get doxology from. And Jesus, if you remember, stood on the mountaintop, didn't he? And he was transfigured in glory. And he met with Moses there, apparently, and Elijah on the mountain. And he was glorified. And so God makes himself known, his glory known, the kabod of glory. All the glory, if you read through the psalm, you'll see glory comes up time again. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom. All men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Is reflected in Jesus, is encapsulated in Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, when we look at him, it's not like, oh, there's the God of the Old Testament and he was really, really judgmental. And now we've got Jesus and he's different. Jesus is saying, look at me and you'll see the Father. You'll see what the Father's like. And Jesus says, doesn't he, when he starts his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to recover, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus is saying, I am that fulfilment of that Isaiah prophecy. I am the Word made flesh. He is the one who desires mercy in all his dealings. Jesus, the perfect man, the most sinless one who could have ever walked. I've just sinned and knocked the water over. Jesus, the sinful, sinless one, is the one that anybody could approach. If you think about who came to Jesus, there were tax collectors and sinners and people of ill repute. And he didn't turn them away, but he told them to go and sin no more. And Jesus is written through this psalm. It doesn't say the word, but he's written through the psalm. Righteous, loving, near, fulfills the desires, watches over. Great to pray through it and actually pray and say, Lord, give me these promises, Lord. These promises are for us, for now. And I mentioned just earlier on that this psalm and the title is Psalm of Praise. And the word in the Hebrew, you know, in the Hebrew they have like little sort of subheading underneath the word Psalm 145 of David, Psalm of Praise. And that praise word there is another worship praise word, another Hebrew word, and it's Tehillah. And that word is a very special word. It describes the praise that the Lord inhabits. So if you think back to that psalm, isn't it? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise, he comes. When we worship, he comes. He is here. He is with us. And that word can also mean a new song, a brand new song, a song that's never been sung ever before in worship. I was going to pick up the guitar and just try and sing some of this psalm, but I'll spare you. But a spontaneity. And I'm excited by this because this is David, probably at the end of his life, looking back over his life, looking back over things and saying, I will sing a new song to the Lord. I will sing a new song to the Lord. A song that's spontaneous. A song that's not been prepared. A song that's not been rehearsed. And I know that God's going to inhabit that praise. And that gets me excited. And David's last words, his last words, if you like, if you go to the very end of this psalm, are these. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. These are last words. I don't know what last words people use or have, but there are some great ones, and if you go on the web you can find different quotes from different people, and I quite like the one on somebody's gravestone where they'd written, I told them I was sick. A surprising set of last words. Jimi Hendrix is a guitarist. And he didn't live a great life, and he was a drug addict, and he died. But they found a poem by the side of his bed. And I liked a couple of the lines that he wrote. The two last lines of this poem were this. The story of life is quicker than the blink of an eye. But the story of love is hello and goodbye. Until we meet again.
Amen.
I love that. So, last words are to be taken seriously, aren't they? David's last words are to be taken seriously. My mouth will speak praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. And the first word for praise is Tehillah. My mouth will speak Tehillah praise to the Lord. Let every creature, Barak, praise his holy name forever and ever. And to finish now, as we remember David's last words, the very last words of the New Testament, pretty much, book of Revelation, chapter 22. I won't read it all. You may be familiar with it, about the angel showing John the river of the water of life. Clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. And the Lord, the light of the Lord will be there. This is what we're called to. This is what we're called for. They will see his face. No more hiding. No more in the cleft of the rock. They will see his face. And his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light. And these last words. And they will reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's look.